Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Internet Insanity, where we talk about expensive snacks and scandalous books. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs for the week. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. This is episode 178. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
Hi, hi, hi. So, tell me, what's going on with you guys this week? How are your girls? Dish it. Is that a thing people say? Dish out the stories?
I think they say, like, spill the tea. I think that's the new thing.
Oh.
But it's not that hot. It's not, like, hot goss going on over here at the Jaeger. So I don't know how much tea I'm really spilling.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God. So Cece is getting close to three. She's 2 and like 10 months or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she has achieved a whole new level of sass lately. Achievement unlocked. Oh my gosh. Her new thing is she's all about being right. Like, she knows everything. So no matter what I tell her, she's like, I know. She's like climbing on the table, like the dining room table. Like, that's one of our rules. We don't have a ton of house rules. We're a pretty loose household, but like climbing on the table with your bare feet and your bare butt is a rule. Like, don't do it in our house. She's climbing on the table. And I'm like, Cece, off the table, please. And she goes, I know. But she doesn't get off the table. She just says, I know. And I'm like, oh my God.
Did she pick that up from someone, or is this like spontaneously from her little brain?
Oh, you know, I don't know. This one might be from me, maybe, because the kids tell me a lot of stuff I know already. Mama, that dog is brown. Oh, I know. You know, like, I do it in a kind way. Her is like all defiance. And the other one is like, I'm just blah, blah, blah. So she'll be breaking a rule. Another rule is you only color on paper. You don't color on the furniture. You don't color on the table. She'll be coloring on the table. And I go, Cece, paper only. Don't color on the table. She goes, no, I'm just drawing a picture.
We've got that too. We have that like word for word. I'd be like, Augie, that's not okay. Like, don't use that wooden rod as a lightsaber and hit your brother. I'm just playing lightsabers. I'm just playing Star Wars. Like, it doesn't matter, kid. Do you think this is a good excuse?
Oh, my God. I love that he's doing it, too. That's, oh, my gosh, these kids. And then her other one, she says, I'm just joking. Okay, she says this about everything. And it's never when she's actually joking, right? It's like, oh, I'm holding her and I'm like, oh, Cece, don't chew on my shirt, please. She goes, I know, I'm just joking. Like, what? And all these instances, I want to be like, what are you talking about? Just stop doing what you shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a whole another level of difficulty in getting her to cooperate. But at least this stuff's kind of funny, cracks me up. I'm like, oh, you're joking about filling my shirt with spit? You're joking? Okay.
Great joke. Really funny.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. It's got me rolling, laughing my ass off.
The mispronunciations are also great. Like, Augie's other thing is half the time he says thank you like normal, but then the other half he goes, okay, stank you.
Stank you?
Thank you.
I love it. Oh my God. That is the best. A funny thing that Cece said recently, it's not a mispronunciation, but just something funny that I remembered. She put on a pair of pajamas and they were too tight because, you know, she's kind of outgrowing size two and they were really tight on her body. And she starts pulling at them and she's like, oh, these jammies are too zoomed in.
Oh my God, this is such a 2021 baby.
Right? Oh my God. Ugh, these kids, they crack me up.
That's amazing. By the way, we are long past, like, I just got rid of all the 2T stuff because I was sick of putting him into, you know, jammies that were sausage casings, basically.
Sausage casings. Yeah, she's kind of outgrowing them. We're moving into threes, and we've got a bunch of hand-me-downs that are even size four, and she loves wearing them. She, like, swims in them. She was wearing a size of the big ones the other day, and she said to Elle, she goes, oh, these are too zoomed in. And Elle goes, no, they're not. They're too zoomed out. So they have just come up with their whole, like, own language about stuff. Yeah.
Wow. That's so funny. I love it.
Yeah. I think maybe they've just had too much screen time is what I should really be taking away from this. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of too much screen time, the other thing I was going to say this week is, I mean, I mentioned I'm often overwhelmed with all my responsibilities and everything I have going on. And with her just becoming increasingly demanding, you know, just needy, like a almost 3-year-old just needs so much more attention than like an infant or a newborn, like where they can kind of just quietly play and roll around and stuff. She just needs interaction. She needs snacks constantly. She wants my attention all the time. And I'm just struggling with dealing with that and everything else I need to do. And definitely the time has come for us to start thinking about how we can work childcare for her into our routine and schedule. Because it's like, you know, my plan was to do the preschool thing. And if it weren't for the pandemic, she would 100% be in preschool. And I don't know when that's going to work for us. I'm like hesitant to do a nanny. I don't know. I'm just not sure what to do to make this better.
And you are out of ideas.
Yeah, those are my ideas.
Well, I mean, those are basically the ideas, right? Like
preschool
/ daycare or a nanny. I mean, that's what you got. So why, I'm curious why a nanny is something that you're hesitant about.
I think because me and Steve are also home, and to like bring someone else in while we're here, I don't know how well that's going to work because Cece's so clingy to me. And I don't know. It just feels too close for comfort. I really just want to send her out of the house.
Girl, I feel you.
And so I can really focus, you know? And it just seems like expensive too, like a lot. More expensive than daycare or preschool, which is a consideration too. And like employing someone, and like you're talking about your nanny has sick days, and I'm like, oh my God, now I have to also be like a manager of an employee on top of everything else. Like I have the hesitations there.
Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the ass. Like, I'm not going to lie, you know, but they do make it easy with this, like, I use Poppins payroll, but like there's nanny payroll services. That's what we use. And you just pay like a small fee, and they kind of take care of all that stuff. So like creating the pay stubs and doing all the paperwork and all that stuff. So that's not so bad, but yeah, it's another thing to think about. And then, you know, having a nanny in the house, it is a different dynamic. You know, I think that for us, obviously it's working right now because we have the two kids that need help. And so we were a little spread thin, but I don't get a lot of work done. You know what I mean? Like I get some relief to have do things like alone with each child because there's someone else to watch the other child, and then Corey gets to work. But it's not like I could go back to a full-time job, not anywhere close at the moment. So yeah, I mean, you'd have to set up real serious boundaries, I think, if you brought a nanny in. But that's not to say it's not helpful, you know what I mean? Like it's definitely helpful. So it's just a matter of like where your expectations are at. Like, do you just want a little bit of help, or do you like really need full-time care, basically?
Right. Well, that was one of the nice things about having Steve's mom living with us, is it was someone else that could play with her, supervise her, and give us a break, you know, to focus on what we needed to focus on. And we really had that for a long time. And it's just like the last several months that we've been trying to do it all ourselves, that kind of realizing it's a little too much, and it would be nice to have someone just to relieve some time here and there. That's why I'm also like, I don't need like a full-time nanny. I don't even know if I need someone like 20 hours a week, which also sounds expensive. So yeah, I don't know. It's just something I'm starting to think about, and hopefully we'll have some kind of update soon about that.
Yeah, I hope so. Because you do need help. Like, I agree. I think that what you've been doing is remarkable, and unsustainable. Yeah. So, yeah, you need a break.
Yeah, thanks. All right, so that's me. What about you guys? How are y'all doing?
So we're tired because the baby sleeps fine. The baby is 8 months old and sleeps like a champion. But mm-hmm. Augie, my 2 year and 9 month old, is not sleeping well. And
still.
Aww. Not still more. Like, it's getting worse. So there were 3 nights in a row this week where he woke up in the middle of the night, like screaming for us. Mm-hmm. And every time it took more than an hour to get him settled. And wow. The whole house is just like wrecked because of it, right? Because like Corey and I will alternate. We're, you know, I was like last night I was in there for an hour, like it's your turn, that sort of thing. But yeah. None of us are getting good rest and he's not getting good rest. So it's just, it's awful. Talk about unsustainable. It's no good. Mm-hmm. So Corey and I got together and we were like, we need to come up with a plan. Like, this is getting worse, not better. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And at some point, I'm going to throw Corey under the bus for this one because I swear it was his creation. So we had done those planned check-ins, right? And they were working okay. We're like, we left him awake at bedtime and then would like say, we'll be back in 10 minutes and come back.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
You know, we had been doing that. But he had started sort of protesting it more. And he started asking for stories. You know, he wanted us to tell him stories that we made up, not just read mm-hmm. stories from a book. And I'm thinking this is why Corey is responsible, because I think it kind of plays to Corey's ego as a writer that Augie wanted to like listen to the stories he made up, right? Because like he would tell Augie stories and then he would come downstairs to tell me the like amazing story he had thought up, right? So
just want to pause and say I have been there when Al requested stories at this age. I like blew myself away with how great my stories were, and I'd come out and tell Steve and write them down and be like, I'm for sure writing a children's book of these stories. Obviously I haven't. So okay, I get where he's coming from.
Mm-hmm. So what this turned into was, instead of just telling him stories and then doing the planned check-ins, it turned into telling him stories until he fell asleep.
Oh.
And early on, I told Corey, I don't think we should do this. I think we need to like make sure he's awake when we leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
And my memory of this interaction was Corey really dismissing it, being like, no, it's not a big, like, no, that's silly. Like, it's mm-hmm. fine. He's doing fine. Like, the stories are good. And so I didn't bring it up again because I like marital, you know, peace and calm. And like, it didn't seem like a big deal, right? I was like, okay, it's a sweet thing. Corey likes telling Augie these stories. Augie falls asleep to a story. There's no more wonderful feeling in the world than like falling asleep watching a movie or listening to an audiobook, as far as I'm concerned. So I was like, okay, whatever. No harm, no foul. Well, then all these middle of the night wakings started. And Corey does, I want to say, like 80% of Augie's bedtimes at this point. Like, we will alternate. We'll start off alternating nights, but then like Sebastian needs to nurse right before bed. So I end up like switching. And then now that Augie likes these stories, he's always asking like, no, I want daddy to do bedtime, right?
Okay.
So he was doing these stories and I didn't want to get in the way of them having this cute father-son thing, right? Mm-hmm. So after these wakings, I was like, I know you don't think this is as important. I know you don't think it affects his sleep. I think we really need to stop telling him the stories. He calls them Captain Augie stories. He's like, I want a Captain Augie story because it's about Captain Augie.
That's so cute.
It varies, but Captain Augie is like the best X-Wing pilot in the galaxy, and he goes on adventures, right? So he'll be like, I want a Captain Augie story, and we'll tell him. So I was like, I don't think we can tell Captain Augie stories till he's asleep. Mm-hmm. And I was like all defensive. And I know you said it wasn't a big deal. And he's like, no, I was thinking the same thing. I never said that. He like has zero memory of down the suggestion. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, I wish I had brought this up sooner, but okay. And I was like, yeah, so we need to go back and make sure he's awake when we leave the room and do the planned check-ins. So we're going to start that like tonight because this is absolutely ridiculous.
Okay. So he can, in theory, tell him a story, end the story while the child is still awake, and then say goodnight and leave, right? So that's what you're going to try?
Exactly. That's the plan. Short Captain Augie story.
Not sagas. Okay.
Yes. They only visit one planet or whatever. So we'll see. He's very attached to them, so we'll see if this helps. But something's got to change because we are tired.
Yeah. And so why do you think it affects middle of the night wakings?
Well, I think it's like the whole sleep training thing, right? Where if you put a baby down asleep and then they wake up, like the idea is like they're confused. They don't know how they got into the crib, even though it's the crib they're in every fucking night. But like still, you know, like right. You get startled and you can't get back to sleep. While if you fall asleep in a location and then wake up in that location, you're not startled when you wake up and you can more easily put yourself back to sleep. So that's the idea.
Right. And it's probably he's getting used to having one of you around while he falls asleep. So when he wakes up in the middle of the night, he probably wants you there until he falls asleep, right?
That's exactly it. So then he wants us in. He wants another Captain Augie story. Yeah. He wants me to sing him a song. And I have fallen asleep on the nugget next to his bed like 2 times this week. Like there
really?
Was a... Yes, ugh. There was a... night this week where he woke up at like 2. I stumbled in. I was trying to tell him a Captain Augie story, and I'm like, okay, so Captain Augie got in his X-wing and then he, and I'm like falling asleep, right? And he goes, and then he what? More Captain Augie. And I'm like, kid, I'm falling asleep. And then like next thing I know, it'll be like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, oh shit, I just fell asleep on this nugget.
Oh my God. So, yeah, this has got to stop. Okay. Agreed. I hope this helps.
Yeah, me too. So next week's check-in, we'll find out what's going on there. So yeah, that's what's going on with the toddler. The baby, on the other hand, is just being a cutie pie, growing so fast. He's 8 months, as I mentioned, and he is now officially a cruising dude.
Oh, awesome. Remind people what cruising is.
Yeah, so last week I talked about how he was pulling to stand all the time. Well, cruising is sort of the next thing where you pull to stand and then you walk along that object. Like a couch front is a very common place to cruise, or, you know, along the edge of a... We have this like ottoman coffee table thing. Like that's where it's like actually perfect for kids because it's soft, but it's like the perfect height. He likes to cruise in circles around that. And yeah, it's like a prelude to walking. So.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting, but also like, kid, slow it down. Slow it down. I don't need you to walk this soon.
Oh, my gosh. Well, sometimes they walk sooner when they're the younger kid because they like want to keep up with their big their big sibling. So maybe he will be an earlier walker.
Yeah, I think for sure, because Augie walked at 12 months, like 12 months in a couple weeks. And I don't think we're waiting 4 more months for walking. Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen. So, yeah, so that's exciting. And then also the language thing is starting to develop. Like, it's really interesting. I know that, gosh, it was like a month ago I mentioned that I thought he must have said more during dinner. Do you remember that he went like muh when he wanted more? Okay, well, this week Corey's mom came to visit with her dog Ellie, and Ellie showed up and Sebastian turned and looked at Ellie and goes duck duck.
Really?
I swear. And like, I was like, did he just say dog? And everyone was like, I don't know. He's 8 months old. Like, chill out, right? And then we went on a walk and there was a dog barking and he turned his head and went duck, duck. And we were like, okay. And so throughout the weekend, because Corey's mom was here, she was like paying attention. And she is also of the opinion. Actually, everyone who heard it was like, yeah, he's clearly looking to the dog and saying something that sounds exactly like dog. Like, what more proof do you need? Right.
Wow, that's amazing. And especially because you don't have dogs.
Right?
You guys have cats.
We have cats.
But he's all about the dogs.
He's all about the dogs. And, well, I mean, we go on walks and this neighborhood has so many dogs. And, of course, I'm that person who, like, anytime a dog walks by, I'm like, look at that doggy. Look at the little doggy. It's so cute. So he's used to me pointing out every dog. But, yeah, that's it for us this week. We've got no sleep and a talking baby.
Wow. Good times.
So, yeah, should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
Let's do it. Laura, I don't know about you, but I feel like my skin has gone through lots of changes since pregnancy and parenthood.
Oh, for sure. Our skin goes through a lot during different stages of life, whether that's melasma, dry skin, hormonal acne, or what I like to call too exhausted at the end of the day to do a skincare routine skin.
I hear ya. Well, luckily, our sponsor, OneSkin, has a simple skincare routine that even sleep-deprived parents can handle.
I've been using the topical face and eye creams, and not only is it an easy routine, it makes my skin feel healthy and refreshed.
You have been rocking that glowy look lately.
Aw, thank you. Founded by an all-woman team of scientists, OneSkin has developed a proprietary peptide called OS1 that's scientifically validated to improve the health of your skin beneath the surface.
Not only that, their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety for use at any stage in life.
For a limited time, you can try OneSkin for 15% off using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and as a busy mom, I admit I sometimes forget to prioritize my mental health. But when I do, I feel so much better. And I've realized that a big part of my mental health is finding support through my community.
Absolutely. It's easy to feel stuck in my routine or cancel plans when leaving the house and the kids feels overwhelming. But I've discovered I can find community
Allo
and support for my mental health.
Allo Moves is the award-winning on-demand streaming wellness platform app that has mindfulness, self-care, workouts, and more to help boost your mental and physical well-being.
When I make time for movement and mindfulness, even if it's just for a few minutes, it has such a positive impact on my day. And I love that I can connect with other users in the Allo Moves community to support and encourage each other.
Whether I'm taking a class with a friend in person or connecting with another member in the community comments, Allo Moves really brings people together. We're all just trying to find ourselves because we're all in it together.
With over 100 new classes every month, Allo Moves keeps me motivated and supported. I absolutely love the mindfulness classes. Taking time to focus on my breath and body in the present moment does so much for my well-being all day.
And when I need an energy pick-me-up before diving into the day, I love doing a 15-minute Pilates class to focus my mind and get my blood pumping.
Find yourself together when you join Allo Moves. Join the community on allomoves.com today and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial, plus enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com code BFP for 30-day free trial, plus 20% off an annual membership. allomoves.com code BFP.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes I just have a week, you know, where work and parenting and keeping up with the house all feels so overwhelming, and I just need to vent about it and get it off my chest. It's amazing how just expressing it out loud can relieve a lot of tension that has built up. We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe place to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. I have worked through many difficult situations in therapy. It's such a great way to get perspective on your experience and learn techniques to help you cope in the moment when things get tough. If you're feeling overwhelmed, down, or stressed and would like to talk to a therapist, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, which means no driving across town to appointments, and you can easily make it work with your schedule. To get started, just fill out a quick questionnaire and you'll get matched with a therapist. If it doesn't feel like a perfect fit, you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/BFP. We're back, and this week's special segment is Internet Insanity, where we report on all the wild and wacky parenting-related things we found online recently. Laura, you're up first for this one. I can't wait to hear what you found for us.
Okay. This one is so weird, and I can't wait to talk about it. So my first internet insanity is rare conjoined goldfish crackers.
Are they like a collectible worth a lot of money, or where are we going here?
Okay, so the backstory is that Augie had a Halloween party at his school, and I had signed up to bring goldfish crackers.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the bottom, they said, like, feel free to make things spooky if you want. And I was like, I wonder if there's spooky goldfish crackers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There must be Halloween-themed goldfish crackers. Well, there are, but they were completely sold out everywhere. So I started Googling, like, Halloween goldfish crackers shopping, right? I was trying to, like, find it at, who knows, Walmart or Target or somewhere that there might be, like, a little bit left in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler alert, I did not find any. I just, like, used regular goldfish crackers and put them in a little Halloween bag and called it a day.
Okay.
But in my searching, I came across an eBay listing that was a little confounding to me because what it said was rare goldfish cracker conjoined outline. Okay. And the picture of it is like the featured picture is like a little Ziploc bag. And there is a like rectangular piece of basically Cheez-Its, right? Like goldfish crackers and Cheez-Its are basically the same, right? Uh-huh. So like that kind of cracker material. But instead of the goldfish, it's like the outline of the goldfish, right? Uh-huh. It's like the negative space from the goldfish cracker.
So the goldfish cracker had been punched out or not?
Yes. So it's like along one edge, there's a little scalloped edge where you can see the goldfish shape. Okay. There's, it looks like there's like 2.5 goldfish crackers. That's how big it is, right? In length. So probably a couple inches. It is listed for $499.
You have got to be kidding me.
I'm not. I could not, like, I could not figure out why. Okay, so I'm looking at this. I'm like, what? There is some kind of goldfish cracker, like, anomaly market that I have missed out on.
Is that link still live? Can you send it to me? I want to see it.
Oh, yeah.
You mean no one's bought the $500 goldfish cracker yet?
Well, I did actually start looking for like sold items on eBay because, you know, you can do that.
Yeah.
So I'm sending you this link and then I'm also going to look up the sold items because there's a lot of like related items listed at the top.
Oh.
There's another conjoined outline for $480. There's a rare goldfish cracker doubled perfectly. It means there's two like head to butt. And that's listed for $260.
What? This looks like a piece of cheese that a small rodent just took some chomps out of. I am not getting the appeal here.
So you search conjoined goldfish and let's filter to sold items. All right, let's see. Okay, so I'm calling bullshit on this because there's one sold item and the title is One of a Kind Rare Two Conjoined Goldfish Crackers Edible Collectible. And it sold for 65 cents.
Okay. So there's not really a market for this. Or is this person delusional?
This is what I don't understand. Is it all the same person? Let's find out. Okay. This is the only thing that this person has for sale on eBay. Like, what is even happening? Is this some kind of front? Like, if someone buys it, that it's like a way to launder money? Or, like, because that would be smart.
That would be. Underneath the listing that you sent me, there's a different listing for something called Extremely Rare Centaur-Shaped Animal Cracker for $50. And it just looks like a randomly smushed piece of cookie dough. This is bananas.
Oh, yeah. And then over here, there's a super rare factory error Barnum's Animal Crackers. What is fine art potential? It says fine art potential. What?
Oh my gosh. Here's another rare conjoined goldfish, and it really just looks like four goldfish glued on top of each other.
Yeah.
So who's to say like someone didn't just super glue those?
I'm so confused, John. I don't have much to say about it other than like it's absolutely bonkers. And like, how did my whole afternoon get sucked up by like Googling conjoined goldfish crackers? Like, what is my life?
Is this your way of hinting at what I should buy you for Christmas?
Do you know how mad I would be if you ended up buying me like a multi-$100 conjoined goldfish cracker?
Oh, yeah, that would, there's better things to spend $500 on in the world, I'd say.
Oh my God, there's one here. Super rare conjoined triple goldfish, best thing you'll ever buy. And it says it's pre-owned.
Used conjoined goldfish. Who knew that was a thing?
You know what? I've got to Google, like, why. Like, is this like a Reddit thing? Like, is this starting to make me think this is some kind of joke that a bunch of people on Reddit or 4chan have started, you know?
That could be. There's got to be an origin story here somewhere.
Okay, I'm searching conjoined goldfish. I mean, it is on Reddit, but people are just saying the same things we're saying. Like, it's on R mildly interesting.
I would label it extremely interesting.
Oh, there's one that's R delusional eBay. I like that subreddit. I don't spend any time on Reddit, but that is good. Yeah, it seems to me like they're just as confused as we are. So, listeners, if you know what the heck is going on with these rare conjoined goldfish, like, what in the world is happening?
Yes, please let us know. All I can chalk it up to is entertainment. Like, I think someone's just being an entertainer by by listing all of these things, and maybe they're amused. I don't know. But I'm not a collector. I don't get in the collector mindset, so I don't know. Maybe this is exciting to some people.
Maybe, maybe. But based on the actual number of sales on eBay, I'm going to guess no. Although it does make me want to make like a ceramic version and put it on a necklace and sell it on Etsy.
There you go. I think that'll sell.
Okay. Maybe if we ever start a merch shop, that'll be in there. A rare conjoined goldfish.
Oh, I love it. Let's do it.
All right. Well, that is my first internet insanity. Shauna, do you have one for us?
Okay. That's a really hard one to follow. but this is definitely another one that makes me go, wow. So have you heard of the toy Bunchums?
No.
No.
Okay. Do you bunch them up?
Yeah, it's a kid's toy, and they're small plastic balls that have like spikes all on the outside. Like they kind of look like the coronavirus particle, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you can imagine that. And I guess kids bunch them up to make little, I don't know, figurines. Like in the ad, it's like this kid playing with it and bunching them all together and making like a panda. You know, like you can make little animals and stuff. It's like Legos in a way, I guess.
Okay, yeah. Like a building toy.
Yeah. So their marketing is they magically stick to each other without heat, glue, or mess, making cleanup a breeze. They stick and stay and pull apart for endless play. So it sounds fun. You know, I'm always looking for things for my kids to build with and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But there's a big problem with Bunchums that I've discovered online.
Uh-oh. What is it?
They get stuck in children's hair like you would not believe. This woman's post went viral. Her little girl with long hair, like her brother took a bag of Bunchums and dumped them on her head, like as a joke, and they clung to her hair and got stuck and matted all in her hair. And the mom wrote this whole saga about what they had to do to try to get them out. And it took 20 hours for them to remove all of the Bunchums from the girl's hair. Here, I'll send you the link so you can see the picture of this. It's wild. Okay, do you see that?
Oh, my God. What a fucking nightmare. Oh, no. This
Look
poor
at
girl.
That. I know.
Okay, so what I'm looking at is like 3 or 4 dozen, I want to say, of these Bunchum toys just completely embedded in this little girl's hair. Oh, it looks so painful. Oh, my goodness. I remember what it was like to have tangled hair as a little kid, too, and having your mom try to pull at your scalp and how painful it was. Oh, no.
Yes. And if you look at this product on Amazon and go down to the reviews, like every single picture is just different people's kids' long hair embedded like little rat's nests with all of these Bunchums stuck in it. It's like just seems like the worst nightmare toy you could ever imagine.
Okay, I'm going to look this up because I love rubbernecking on a bad Amazon review. It's too bad because it actually does kind of look like a fun toy.
Yeah, it does. Well, your guys have short hair, so you'll be fine. I mean, unless you plan on rubbing your own hair around in a bag of Bunchums, you know, I think your household will be safe. Although you have to also worry about your cats, I would think. You know, I have long-haired dogs and they like...
Yes. I just don't think I'm going to even start with this. Like, I think we should just avoid it altogether.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I'm scrolling down. Man, Amazon makes it really difficult to make it to the reviews. Okay, there we go. Oh, God. Okay, so that little girl has it all on the side of one hair. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. These poor kiddos.
I know. Here's a 1-star review. The title is Devil Product. And then she says, product is straight from hell. 10 of them stuck in daughter's hair. 6 hours later, lots of conditioner and olive oil finally got them out.
Oh, a toy from the guts of hell. From Friday at 3:30 p.m. until Saturday at 11 p.m., I went through what has been the worst mom nightmare to date. My daughter and son got done virtual school and went to my daughter's playroom. About 10 minutes later, there comes my son, running with a horrified look to tell me that his sister had something stuck in her hair. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. Here, this reviewer offers alternate instructions for how to use Bunchums. The instructions should read something like this. Step one, lather your kid's head with shaving cream. Step two, shave your child's head. Step three, remove Bunchums from bag. It's now safe for your child to play with Bunchums.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so sad. And, you know, they meaning Bunchums. Bunchums is aware of this problem because, you know, it's gone viral and everything. And so now there is a tiny little warning on the bottom of their box that says, caution, keep away from hair, may become entangled, keep away from pets.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
And when we're talking about, like, getting them stuck in the hair, we're not talking about, like, just a little bit at the end. I mean, they are at the, like, scalp level. Like, they're, like, tangled into the roots of the hair. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Ugh.
Deep in there. A lot of the stories I read, parents just had to cut their kids' hair, like, just chop off chunks of it or just completely give them a pixie cut. You know, when you're a mom of a kid whose hair you really love and admire, it would be so sad to, like, have this happen and be like, oh, my God, now I have to cut off all your gorgeous hair.
Well, and so sad for them, too. Like, what if Elle had to cut off her hair? She would probably be so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she would. Yeah. So these are not entering our house.
For good reason.
Yes. All right. So moving on. Do you have another one for us?
I do. I do have another one. So this one is one of my favorite things I've seen on the internet lately. It made me so happy. And it was off of Lauren Brantz's Facebook page. Do you know who she is?
No.
So she's an illustrator. She did the feminist baby books.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I have her book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has a very, like, specific style. Like, if you saw her little icon, you would know exactly who she was. And her Facebook page is really cool. Like, she posts a lot of her comics, and then she talks a lot about her daughter who has special needs and had, you know, kind of a hard babydom. Like, there's a lot of really interesting stuff. But now she has this series she's been doing because it's so popular and so interesting called Toddlers Love Weird Things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pictures that people send in of their toddlers with their really weird lovies.
Oh, yes. I cannot wait to hear what some of these lovies are.
So, I mean, you have to scroll it. Let me send you the link.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sending you part four because that's the one I saw first, which is the last one as at the time of recording. But there's a series of toddlers who are in love with their foam letters and numbers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cute.
There's a lot of Halloween zombie things, which Augie was like on the verge of making something like a skeleton rat his lovey.
Uh-huh.
But thankfully, he's like never been that affectionate to like inanimate objects. He just liked playing with them.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, oh gosh, he's going to start sleeping with it. He is now sleeping with a Darth Vader toy that my mom bought him.
Uh-huh.
But that seems a little more normal.
Yeah.
This one cracks me up. Weird things toddlers love. My son was 3 and found this 7-foot-long piece of seaweed while we were on vacation at the beach. He named it Finny. It weighed nearly as much as he did and stank to high heaven. He dragged it up and down the beach for hours and hours and hours. Eventually, it was swept to sea and he was nearly inconsolable.
Oh, the ocean ate his buddy. Oh, poor guy. Oh, my God. This is hilarious. It's like a little 1.5-year-old sitting on the couch next to this big green plastic device thing. And the caption is, toddler obsessed with this frog humidifier. I love it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. This is the best. My oldest son was obsessed with this bottle of ranch, carried it everywhere and only would sleep if he had it. And there's a picture of this, like, I don't know, probably like 13-month-old cuddled up to a bottle of ranch.
Oh, that is amazing. Oh, my God. Oh, I got to follow this lady. This is too good.
Yeah, she's actually a really good follow. I started following her because of this, and I found her page very delightful.
Good.
Okay, so I'm sending you part 3.
Okay, awesome.
Little baby Sleeping with a turkey baster.
Oh, my God. What? My nephew went through a phase where he couldn't fall asleep without a Don Draper finger puppet.
Who even makes Don Draper finger puppets? That's so weird.
That's so bizarre. Oh, these are too hilarious. This girl, we had to take the summer squash away when it started rotting. She's holding a summer squash in a baby blanket.
She should have picked a winter squash. Would have lasted her longer.
Yes, she should have consulted you. I didn't know that about squash.
See, I love the first one in this where it's like an adorable little girl in her baptism gown. She's sitting on a little toddler chair and she's in her big poofy white dress and she looks absolutely perfect and angelic and she's holding a hairbrush. And the comment was a hairbrush in her baptism photos.
I feel it though. Like you don't want to fight. You don't want to fight to take these things away from these kids. It just results in meltdown. So the kid gets her baptism photo with a hairbrush.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You just kind of crop it out. Creative cropping.
Yeah.
And I sent you the first one, but I think it was all like Halloween themed stuff. It's actually called Toddlers Love Terrifying Things. And it's like all the creepy Halloween decorations that the kids love, which was my life around Halloween, like 100%. Augie was super into everything Halloween related. So like skeletons were like his favorite toys and he just liked creepy shit.
Yeah.
But I intentionally didn't buy him anything too creepy because I was afraid he would get attached to it.
Yeah. Oh, well, these are amazing. I love it. My new favorite thing on the internet.
Yes. So that's Lauren Brantz, LORYNBRANTZ. And we'll put a link in our show notes, of course, because you all have to see these.
You know what?
What?
This makes me feel better about Cece carrying around that couch pillow for a while. Remember, she took it to the park with her and stuff? So she's not the only one out there.
She's not. And honestly, in the grand scheme of things, a couch pillow seems pretty normal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a rotting summer squash.
All right. Well, that was my last internet insanity. Shauna, do you have one more for us?
I do. Should we take a break and come back with it?
Ooh, good idea. Okay, we're back and we have one more internet insanity to hear from Shauna. Shauna, what you got for us?
So I was on Amazon recently, as I do, and looking up children's books, often look up kids' books on there to buy. And there was a book in the sidebar or somewhere on the page suggested to me, like, you might like this or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it looked really cute. It was a illustrated picture of a tow truck and a snowblower, and they're in the snow, and it looked really cute. And I looked at the title, and it's Hookers and Blow. And I'm like...
Okay, go on.
I'm like, excuse me? So of course I had to click on this book and be like, what the fuck is up with this book? So here is what it says about Hookers and Blow. Tom Transport is stuck in a snowdrift with all the presents for the town Christmas party. It's up to Hookers the tow truck and Blow the snowblower to make their way through the snow to save the day and the party. And I'm just like, this has got to be a joke or something. Like, what is going on with this book? And because I've clicked on this one, Amazon served up a very nice selection of other books I might be interested in. Okay, here's the next one that came up.
Oh no, you fucked up your algorithm.
Oh, big time. The next one that came up is called D E E. There's a picture of a squirrel on the front. I assume the squirrel's name is D. And the title of the book is D's Big Nuts.
Wait a second. Is there a whole like subgenre of books that look like kids' books but are actually like weird grown-up jokes?
Yes, ma'am. And I discovered them on Amazon. Yeah, the description of this one is like a squirrel named D and his friends love for his big nuts. And like you see some of the pictures and it's just like, oh, D, we love your big nuts. I can't fit your big nuts in my mouth, you know, stuff like that. And it's all like children's pictures and stuff like that. And so the next one I found was a picture. The cover was a woman walking her pet beaver on a leash, and the beaver was very, very furry, like overgrown beaver animal. Uh-huh. And the title is Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber. And the description is, a woman walks her pet beaver on a leash, and everyone's horrified by how overgrown her beaver is.
Wow.
Like, oh my God. Okay.
Are there reviews on these things? Like,
that's what I was going to get to. Like,
okay.
And the good thing is that they are not posted in children's books, you know, the section children's books on Amazon. It's like humor.
That's good.
I don't know. Yeah. But the fact is, it was served to me because I was looking at kids' books. So people yep. are stumbling upon these and they think they're kids' books. So,
oh, it is just a matter of time before my mom accidentally buys one of these and doesn't get the joke. Right?
Absolutely.
So many well-meaning grandmas are out there buying these nuts, not understanding.
Buying these nuts and hookers and blow. So to get an idea of like the content of the book, I'll read you a couple pages from Brenda's Beaver Needs a Barber.
I hate this. I hate it. I hate you are, everything
oh,
about
you are
it.
Gonna hate, you're going to hate this so much.
Okay, great.
So enjoy. Okay, so Brenda's walking her beaver. Brenda has a beaver and she's ready to confess. As soft and sweet as it may be, her beaver is a mess. Next page, she's at the beach. Brenda took her beaver for a swim down at the lake. By the looks that she received, she figured that was a mistake. She stuffed that furry mound into a swimming suit. And then there's a picture of her beaver in like a G-string bathing suit. It stuck out all around. It was anything but cute.
You know, do you watch Ted Lasso?
I've watched some of it. I haven't caught up yet.
Well, if you watch Ted Lasso, Roy Kent is like the kind of angry, growly soccer player. And I just wish I could like Roy Kent growl right now. He goes like this. He goes, that's like his main method of communication.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I feel.
That sounds about right.
I feel a Roy Kent growl inside mm-hmm. of me mm-hmm. right now, because there's so much wrong with this. It's like, not only is it like weird and creepy and sexual in like a children's book, which, or like not a children's book, but in the style of a children's book, which is already like icky and like strangely pervy, right? Mm-hmm. It's also super fucking sexist.
Super sexist, super body shaming. Like,
yeah.
Ugh, I hate it so much. Here's a 1-star review.
Good.
I cannot believe this is not advertised as an adult book. This is absolutely unacceptable. I bought this for my autistic 5-year-old son who loves the animal beaver. And he was so excited when he opened this and we started reading this. It hit me square in the face that this was about a woman's pubic hair. I immediately stopped reading it and he didn't understand and he got upset. And I'm infuriated that this was not put in the description of the listing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see that, because when we get new books, Augie is so excited. He's like, new books, can I read it? Can I read it? And I got burned once before, if listeners remember, with that Goodnight Keith Moon book.
Oh, yes.
So I can totally see him being excited about a book and me opening it and being like, ooh, this is inappropriate. And then having to deal with a meltdown because of it.
Yeah. But it's really annoying. I mean, these books have a ton of 5-star reviews.
Of course they
Hilarious.
Do.
Hilarious. I bought this for my, I don't know, white elephant present or something like that. So there is a market for this stuff. But as a parent, I'm just like, no. Here, let me send you a link to another gem I found.
Great. I can't wait to see this thing I will never be able to unsee. oh, no. No, Shauna. No.
It's a rooster.
It's a rooster, and it says, show me your cock. It's $10.
So, yeah, these books exist. I'm assuming you don't want me to show you another one. But I will say, here's a 1-star review of one called Do You Want to Play With My Balls?
No, thank you.
Which I really hate this one. Yeah, it's because it's actual children, like, playing with, like, bouncy balls with each other. Ugh, this one is horrible.
Like, not to get too dark, but it's like, this feels like weirdly grooming for like sexual abuse and stuff too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, ew, ew, mm-hmm. ew, ew. No,
and
no, no.
Some of the reviews mention that. This one says, sexualizing children in their stages of development is deplorable. Plus, the illustrations are downright creepy. I saw this posted on Facebook and had to come to see if this book was for real. Tasteless, bottom of the barrel literature.
Yeah, I'm not cool with this.
My question now is, how do I retrain my Amazon algorithm to not serve me up this crap?
You're going to have to like click on a lot of Goodnight Moons. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You got to go for like some Eric Carle.
Uh-huh,
like,
uh-huh. Okay.
Real basic.
Wholesome. Mm-hmm.
Wholesome.
Okay.
Yeah. Just get it going there.
And
yeah. You might be able to like report these. If you like report them or something, it might not show you more things like that.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea.
So, yeah.
So, listeners, right. Beware. If you're served up an ad for a very cute book called Hookers and Blow, don't click on it.
Adorable. This is your warning. All
yes.
Right. Well, on that note, I think we should move on to our BFPs and BFNs.
Let's do it.
Okay, so we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, what do you have for us this week?
I have a BFN.
Oh, no. No.
I know. Okay, so I mentioned previously that I've been having some GI trouble, and I went to the GI doctor, and he was like, yeah, just go ahead and cut out dairy, caffeine, NSAIDs, like all this stuff, right? And mm-hmm. I was like, ugh, no. I just was so resistant. Like, I just basically in my mind crossed my arms and said no in my mind. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, I'm not doing that. But after a week, I was like, well, maybe that stuff will help. I guess I'll try. And so finally this week, I have decided to cut all of them.
Wait, what's the list?
Oh, sorry. Dairy, caffeine,
uh-huh.
NSAIDs. Like, I can't take Advil, Aleve. Uh-huh. And remember, I get headaches all the time. Like, I live on that stuff. He's like, Tylenol only. If you've listened to this podcast, you know how I feel about Tylenol.
So, like, fuck Tylenol.
Fuck Tylenol. But, you know, that's not that hard. And dairy, not particularly difficult, not fun, but caffeine mm-hmm. is my BFN. Like, cutting caffeine while trying to parent and do everything I do is kicking me in the ass. Like,
I don't blame you. Yeah.
I am so, aside from just being pissed off about it, because like my morning routine is like making coffee, drinking a lot of coffee, mm-hmm. Usually like two venti, like Starbucks size venti iced coffees. I make it at home, but that's the size I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And then throughout the day, I'll have maybe a diet soda or, you know, tea or something here and there. So I'm very addicted to caffeine, and I cut down for a few days just going straight only to tea, black tea, to kind of cut down the caffeine content. Mm-hmm. And then this week I just stopped everything, cold turkey, no caffeine.
Wow.
And I have felt legitimately sick. Like, my head is throbbing. My body is like, my joints ache. I have muscle fatigue, like muscle aches.
Wow.
Like, at night, I was tossing and turning all night the first night, or maybe the second night after I cut caffeine, tossing and turning all night because like my muscles and joints hurt. It was crazy. I was like, could this be from cutting caffeine? Is this like what withdrawals feel like? And I Googled it, and it's like totally common symptom of caffeine withdrawal. And it just struck me like how addicted I was. And it's been really hard, and it freaking sucks. It just sucks. I'm so sad. I'm not going to have caffeine while trying to parent.
Oh, man. So I know a lot of our listeners probably do this for various reasons. I know a lot of people try to cut out caffeine when they're breastfeeding, and you know, a lot of people cut out caffeine altogether when they're pregnant, and I know people are sympathizing with you. I am too, because you know, I've cut my caffeine consumption back a lot, not intentionally, but mostly because I like forget about my cup of coffee while chasing after kids. Uh-huh. And I've noticed that, like, I used to have like 3 or 4 cups of coffee throughout the day. And now it's like a half of one just because I keep forgetting it. Like, and it gets cold and gross.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I don't know about cutting it out all the way because I know my body would go through withdrawals and ugh, that sucks. So can you do anything about it? Does anything help?
Well, I guess I could take Tylenol. Oh, yay. No, I think I just have to live through it. I mean, I'm better now. I did this a few days ago and I was very tired, like extreme fatigue. I think I napped way too long one day. And so it is getting better. And, you know, I do feel like maybe I have a clearer head. And so I'm like, you know, hopeful that this will actually also help my migraines and everything else. So I'm going to stick with it. But I'm telling you, it is hard. It's hard to do. It's harder than I thought it would be, actually.
Are you drinking any like no caffeine drinks, like coffee? What do they call it? I'm like, well, I don't even know what you call it because I don't drink it. Uncaffeinated coffee?
Decaf.
Decaf. That's the word.
Yeah, actually, that's what made me finally be able to kick caffeine completely because, you know, I was doing tea instead, like trying to just wean off and cut my consumption down a bit. But having tea, I like iced tea in the middle of the day, but starting my morning with a cup of like black tea, it just wasn't doing it for me. It felt flat, not robust enough. I don't know. Just, I was really grumpy about it. And then one day I was like, you know, I think what I miss is like the flavor of coffee with milk in it. Well, oat milk now. Thanks to you. You suggested that. I'm not doing half and half because I'm not doing dairy. So oat milk. And I was like, maybe I'll try decaf coffee in the morning instead, and that will make me happier. And it actually does. I get Starbucks ground coffee and make that, and so it's really strong, very robust. And flavor-wise, I don't miss like the caffeine at all. But yeah, I do enjoy drinking coffee, even if it's decaf. That helps.
Okay, one more question. How long do you have to do this before you know whether it's helping?
I don't know. There was not a time frame given. So I guess it's a wait and see situation. Uh-huh. But after how bad it was to get off of it, I'm like, maybe I don't ever want to get back on it because I don't know. I don't want to ever have to cut caffeine again if I need to. That sucked.
Well, you were drinking a good amount. So I'm wondering if you, like, if you discover this doesn't really help and you can tolerate caffeine, now that you've, you know, weaned yourself off of it, a little bit will go a long way, probably.
Yeah.
You know? So you won't be so addicted. You can have, like, one cup of coffee and you'll be like, this is amazing.
Exactly. My tolerance isn't so high. So, like, a little bit will get me all jazzed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the dream, Laura. That's the dream. but I'm fine. I'm surviving. It's just a bit of a BFN.
Yeah, that sucks.
What about you? What do you have for us?
Oh, is this bad? I have a BFN too.
Oh no. Okay, what do you got?
Mine is so frivolous though. Okay, my BFN is crazy postpartum hair regrowth. Not loss, but regrowth.
Uh-huh.
I've talked about postpartum hair loss before, and this happened to me last time, and I had completely forgotten about it. So when you lose all your hair, it's annoying and bad, and you get clumps of hair, and it's like, who? No one told me about the postpartum hair loss. This is awful. But then when you regrow it, you get this like crazy ass halo of hair. And it's totally possible we talked about this last time it happened, but I have no memory. But this week it's just like hit critical mass. Can I send you a picture?
Okay.
Okay. I'm sending you this selfie I took this week. And yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a lot of little baby hairs growing in. Oh, God. You know what, Laura? I still have this problem. And my kid is almost 3. I don't know what, like, I don't know what's wrong with my hair. It seems like yours are growing back pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, they're growing back great. It's just that they're, like, so much shorter than the rest of my hair and in big sort of, like, clumps, right? So in this picture, my hair is up, but also when I'm just like walking around, I get these like little wisp wings coming up from my temples that are just really weird. It looks like I have like overgrown sideburns or something. But I need to get my hair done is basically what I'm saying. Like, I need to go and, like, I have roots because I haven't been able to, like, go get my hair cut in forever and get my hair colored. So the good thing is that when I decided this was my BFN this week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. My mom's in town next week. I'm going to make a hair appointment. So,
oh, good.
I have a cut and color scheduled for next week.
Mm-hmm.
You can expect a, what do they call it? The glow up. You can see a glow up shot of me.
Good.
I think that's how the kids use it on the TikTok.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Is it called TikTok that these children are using?
I think it's TikTok.
TikTok.
Oh, no, wait. That's the breath mint.
I think they do the dances on the TikTok.
Yes, they do.
So get ready for my glow up after I get my
hair
done.
All right. I'm excited for that, but I'm confused about how it's going to help the baby hairs.
Well, I think, like, first of all, having them be, like, the same color, like, because I've got, like, roots plus, like, the little tips are a different color. So that makes it look worse. And also, I think when my hair is colored and nicely cut, I'm going to be more motivated to, like, use that Revlon styling brush thing and actually blow out my hair so it's better. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to go to my stylist and be like, do something.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be like, okay, I got you. This is my hope, right? And then I'm going to
have... I need that help, too. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Well, as you know, I love my gal. I've been going to her for, oh my God, since 2007. So
really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, she's like a friend now. Like, we're just friends. But yeah, so I know Ava will save me. Ava, save me.
Good. Well, if she has any tips on how to wrangle those little hairs, please share, because I need help too. I just bought headbands. And
that's
like
smart.
When I wear a ponytail, I put on a headband. I brought hairspray recently and try to like spray them down. Yeah, I need help.
I'll ask her. She's a mom too. She has a almost 4-year-old. So yeah, I'll ask her. We'll hear back from a pro.
Good, good, good. Well, enjoy your glow up. I'm excited for you.
Me too. And but for now, I think this is the end of our episode. What do you think?
I think so. Listeners, have you come across any wild and wacky internet insanities lately? You know we want to hear about those. Send them our way. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to email us, you can always throw a voice memo into that email. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, you know you want to. You know you want to do it. You want to join the coolest group of people on the internet. Just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Answer the 2 questions. It's literally like, how did you hear of us? And are you okay with like the rules about being a nice person? Answer those 2. We'll let you straight through. And you can join in on the really amazing conversations we're having in there.
And if you love our show, please rate us and review us. Give us 5 stars. Why not? Throw us 5 stars. Come on. You can do it. Give us 5 stars. Give us a nice little rating. And review us and spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Michael, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.